these songs. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day and for this little time you've set aside. And I pray that you would bless it to us and help us with it. Speak to us, comfort us, strengthen us, chasten us. Lord, just whatever it is that we need, I pray you this day for our daily bread. And I pray you, Father, too, for Israel, that you would continue to preserve them and provision them and protect them and give them portions of wisdom. And that every turn, Lord, you would hinder those that are but hate you and hate your people. Bless those that love you, Lord. Help us, I pray, even in the difficult times, to keep our eyes upon you. We know there have been many, some now, and there will be more to come. I pray you, Father, please, bend us and refresh us, and supply our needs this day. Pray for lost souls. Pray for our visitors, John and Catherine. For absent brethren tonight, for Frank and Colin, for Will, for Pat and Steve. Pray for a soon return of all our brothers and sisters, so we can have a good time and fellowship. Please be with our sister churches, Lord, wherever it is in that be. Pray, Father, please, that you would prepare the preachers and the teachers and the hearers of your word, and for your will to be done. I love you and thank you. Pray to be one of our number this evening. And Lord, just give us what it is that we need. I ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the big book. Let's go to the big book. And we will sing hymn number 162. 162. That should be "To God Be the Glory." Hymn number 162.
God be the glory, great things he has.
This one's yours now, John, 150. If you'd like to go back, 12 hymns to 150. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing, "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place."
But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I give Egypt for the ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Keep not back. Bring my son from far, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled, who among them can declare this, and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants, whom I have chosen, and ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there after be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, and where was no strange God among us. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all the nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry it is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariots and horses, an army and power, army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as a toad. Remember, yea, not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons in the air shall, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my children. This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with the sacrifice. I have not caused thee to serve with any offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifice. But thou hast made me to serve with my sins. Thou hast wearied me with thy iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. First, Father, hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproach. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, some good verses there, especially to do with the restoration of Israel, and so much more. Where is it? It's gone. What color is the little prayer list today?
It's
blue.
Blue, I'll get you one.
I was just going to say, please don't forget your prayer list like I did. That's it there. If anybody has anything that they would like to add to that, I'm more than happy to take a note of it this evening. And if you don't, that's grand too. That is fine. Not worry about the prayer list. It's only a reminder this evening. I like to do those on Sunday morning when most of the folks are here. All right, let's take our hymn books again. In fact, we'll go to the wee hymn book, and we will go and sing hymn number 7, was it? It's coming to that time of year. Hymn number 7, we plough the fields and scatter. Amen. Let's just remain seated as we sing. Hymn number 7, we plough the fields and scatter.
Sunshine, fright, the clouds of the old away.
12 books again. If you would like to join me in the book of 2 Kings, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. Sorry, we are in 1 Kings. Did I say 2 Kings? I did that the other day too. 1 Kings chapter 13. Now, we were in 1 Kings chapter 12. I think it was on Sunday. And I just was reading on to 1 Kings 13. And I thought, you know what? This is a good message about how you should live your life as a Christian, especially when God calls. And the title for the message is, When God Says Go, Go. When God Says Go, Go. I'm going to read all of this chapter, I think, pretty much. Maybe we'll just read the first 19 verses. That'll do for this evening. And we'll refer to the rest as we go. 1 Kings chapter 13, beginning at verse number 1. This is a follow-on from the splitting up of the 12 tribes of Israel to the 10 tribes that made the kingdom of Israel, and the other tribe and a half tribe that made the kingdom of Judah, which is where the Jews' names come from. The word of God says, 1 Kings 13, beginning at verse number 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. That's where one of the golden calves was. And Jeroboam, the king of Israel, stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that cameth from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. We'll read another verse or two. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass to whip for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him in the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. Amen. When the Lord says, Go, go, that is our title this evening. We'll have a quick prayer asking the Lord to help us, and then we'll go on. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Please help us, Lord. I pray for me, for the words to speak. I pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to put all the pieces together in our hearts, Lord, and that this would be one more piece in the hearts of each one of us in the growth of our Christian characters, Lord, and in our strength. Please help us this evening, Lord, and our brothers and sisters, wherever it is they might be. Please oppose those that hate you, Lord, and please bless those that love you. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Amen. 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 This is another one of those quite unusual portions of God's word, but hey, we don't worship a usual God. If you want the usual gods that people worship, you can find them sitting in a garden or on a windowsill, and they don't do very much, but my God does. Now, we already mentioned a little bit about the previous chapter. We have the nation of Israel, the whole nation, the 12 tribes of Israel, being split in two, not down the middle. And the two kings were Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And Rehoboam has been left with the kingdom of Judah, and Jeroboam has gotten everything else. Unfortunately for the children of Israel, and Jeroboam wasn't a really nice, he wasn't a really good guy. He was a rough character. And at the end of the previous chapter, we read about him making two golden calves. Does anyone remember a story where there was a golden calf made before by Aaron, whenever Moses was up in the mountain getting the law from the Lord? And that caused a lot of people, that brought a lot of people to their ends, but the people just wanted something to worship and something to dance around half naked, and something which brought about the deaths of many of them. The Word of God says in the previous chapter, in verse number 30, that this actually became a sin to them. This actually sowed the seeds of their downfall. And so in this place, Bethel, a prophet appears out of nowhere, seemingly, but he came from Jerusalem, I believe it was. And God sent him to preach at the people. God sent him to tell the people that they were wrong. He was sent to prophesy against them. There's a bunch of lessons here. One of the other things that Jeroboam did He made priests out of the very basest of people. Maybe drinkers and fornicators and devil worshippers. And the reason for that is because all of the good priests would have said, I'm not having anything to do with that. I don't want to put my hands and say, let's go to church and let's worship the golden calf that's at the front of the church instead of going to the temple of Solomon and worshiping the Lord and singing his praises. We're not supposed to worship images. You wouldn't get a decent priest, a decent minister that would do that, but you would get somebody that would do it if you paid them the right amount of money. And Jeroboam did this so that the people wouldn't go back to Jerusalem, so that the people wouldn't sit in the temple of Solomon, and the people wouldn't listen to the preaching of the full counsel of God's word, and the people would not go back to Judah. That's why he did it. He wanted to retain control over the people. He didn't care about the long-term damage of worshiping idols. He just wanted to be the king. And it formed a rotten foundation for the future of the nation of Israel. And if I mention the two names, Ahab and Jezebel, two of the most wicked rulers in the whole nation of Israel, I would hope you would know who I mean. And if you want to bring your mind a little bit more up to date, Hillary and Bill Clinton were actually called Ahab and Jezebel of the White House in America. That's going back, what, 15, 20 years? Longer? Just doesn't seem like long enough ago. But they were wicked, evil, fornicators, thieves, possibly murderers. They managed to wheedle their way into power. That's the sort of people that is produced down the line of worshipping idols. You don't want a king that hates his people that much that he is going to do that, but here we go, and this is what we ended up with. He loved just power and control more than he loved the people, and all the things that he did to make himself more powerful. Otherwise, he would have got them off the church and known that he would have had a great kingdom. So, here we have this man sent to the people. Excuse me. The Lord sent a prophet. And why does the Lord ever send a preacher? Because he loves people. And he wants people to be edified. He wants people to hear the truth, incorporate it into their thinking, and make the right decisions. So even though this was a bunch of backsliders, God still loved them. He loves everybody. In fact, we were reading in Jeremiah that for all those that reject God, God sheds a tear. God weeps for them. For all, everybody that rejects him, because he knows his is the right way. And this is what the Lord used this man to speak to the people, first of all, in prophecy. And this was a tactic that God used often. He would make a short-term prophecy through his prophet. And then if that short-term prophecy came to pass, people would say, this man's working for God, we'd better listen to him. So he made a short-term prophecy. But he also made a long-term prophecy. In the way that only God can, he said the short-term prophecy, well, just so you know, God, this altar to a pagan idol that you have set up, it's going to be broken in two, and all the ashes are going to pour out of it. I'm going to tell you something else. On this altar, a king called Josiah is going to offer up all the priests, and men's bones are going to be burned in it. And I think if you scoot on to about 8 chapters, you do a search on your phone, you will find 8 chapters. Josiah, the king, came and he cleaned the place out and he did away with, what do you hear all the things he did away with? He did away with the idols, he did away with the priests that encouraged the people in the idols, and he did away with all the homosexuals that hung around the priests and the idols. And he busted up the altar. All the things that were used to worship the devil, it is interesting to note all the things that hang about together. So he spoke to the people in prophecy, but he also spoke to them in power. The first one was, As soon as he had finished speaking, what happened? The altar broke in two and all the ashes just poured out over the floor. And Jeroboam the king, who could see his kingdom slipping away, he said to his men, "Get him!" And he put his hand out like that, "Get him!" And as soon as he put his hand out, all the muscles and tendons in his arms, they all withered away. And his arm dried up and he couldn't bring his arm back in again. And it's at times like this that people should seriously evaluate the course that their lives are taking. And for a moment, for a little while, Jeroboam did. There's one thing I would like to say. He cried and begged, "Oh, please, please." Well, more like, "Please, please fix my arm. Let ask thy God." Notice he didn't say my God. "Ask thy God to fix me." And that's exactly what he did. And then a mood of thankfulness, he says to the prophet, "Come on back to the house and I'll feed you and water you and I'll give you a reward." And the man says, "I'm on a mission from God and he has given me instructions." You also should note that it is much easier for a Christ rejecter and a God hater to put a few quid in the plate than it is for him to surrender his sin to God. God, he doesn't care if you're lost. He doesn't care for your offerings. He would rather have your heart. He would rather you be saved than have your money. This is the burden of the man of God. God said to him, "Whenever you go there, don't be eating anything and don't be drinking anything." And what would that say to you? That would say to me that this needs to be done in a hurry. I don't want you swarming about that part of the world for weeks. You need to be up there today and back as quick as you can. And secondly, I want you to go home a different way. And that might seem odd, but when you understand that the king of the country had literally told his guards to get that man, God was trying to save his life. Don't be eating anything that they give you in case it's poisoned, and don't be going back the way you came in case they've set up an ambush for you. I believe this is to save your life, so do what I say. So he did all that, and he's heading home. He made one mistake. And we see it as we read verse 14. There was a false preacher. Call him a prophet, but he was a prophet in a country that was given over to worship devils. And I don't know why maybe he thought he wanted to do this man a good turn. And he said, whenever he went out to look for the guy, he found him sitting under an oak tree. And I always wondered, why in the world would a man going about God's business be sitting under an oak tree? Why would he just be sitting on his backside doing nothing? And I think that's where the fault first came in. He made himself, you know the old saying, a moving target's harder to hit. He made himself an easy target. And the false prophet approaches the real prophet of God and says, "Come with me." And the real prophet says, "I'm not. God has told me not to eat and not to drink and not to go into anybody's house by the sign of things and go home a different way." And then this man lies. And he said, "Well, God sent an angel to me and told me to feed you." And you need to know, friends, there are no contradictions in God's word. When God says something, it's not going to change in 5 minutes. What God says still stands. When God calls upon you to do something, he wants you to do it. And you don't need to listen to anybody else to change your mind. You seek God's face. We all know what happens because we read about it. Even as they're sitting eating, God uses the false prophet, the lying prophet. And he speaks through him to the man and he says, I gave you simple instructions. You only had three things you didn't have to do. Don't be eating anything, don't be drinking anything, and go home another way. And he says, because you've done this, you're not going to be buried with your fathers. And as we read, as he went on his way, a lion killed him. And the lion slew him, didn't eat him. And there was a donkey sitting on one side of his body, and there was a lion standing at the other side of his body, and he was left there. All because he didn't obey the Lord. The message got preached, the word got put to Jeroboam, and all the people around about, that God had his hand upon this man, and that this man was on doing the work of the Lord. But he faltered. Made a mistake. And it cost him. Does anyone remember the story of Peter? Whenever he was on the boat with the Lord and there was a great storm. No, he wasn't on the boat with the Lord. He was on the boat with the disciples and there was a big storm. And Jesus came walking in the water and he was going to walk on past the boat and walk back to Galilee. And Peter says, you remember the story? Peter says, Lord, if it is you, call me to you and I will go to you. And Jesus says, come ahead. Things go on great guns. As long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, aware of the storms going on around about, keep your eyes on the Lord. And he took his eyes off the Lord and he started to sink. Thankfully, God is gracious. And he saved them. But it doesn't matter who you are, when God has called you for a particular service, go and do it. If you remember as well the book of Jonah, when Jonah had a great commission to go to Nineveh and to preach the gospel to, was it 120 or 180,000 people? A great Sabbath. Of course, you know he was eaten by a fish and puked up on the seashore again, and he walked in and he preached and everybody got saved. Everybody got saved. I'd love to be able to do that in Derek. And he allowed Humpy about it. He got Humpy about it. I knew you were going to do that, God. You were going to save them. Makes you wonder where people have their priorities. And God called you to do something, do it. There are no contradictions. There will be no changes in God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you go from one chapter to the next, the Word of God, the King James Bible, will not contradict itself. Other Bibles will, but not the King James. And whilst the Bible does have lies in it, they're the lies of the devil. It records them, the Word of God. It records the lies of the devil. But it doesn't preach the lies of the devil. It gives them to you so that you can know what the devil is going to say. And when God speaks to you, he will confirm it to you. It will be as you read the Bible. Portions of the Bible will jump out at you. Whenever someone's preaching a message, the preaching of whatever messages will strike a chord with you. Whenever you're in prayer, it will be brought to your mind. Circumstances, even in your life, they will all preach a message and even a desire in your own heart to do this to serve the Lord. And God calls you, just answer. Just do it. And keep doing it. And if God has called you to do something, you don't have to listen to anybody else regarding that call that God has given to you. It doesn't matter if the Pope in his big hat comes along and says, Mark, you need to be doing something else. God told me. And you'll be going, yeah, right. Or the moderator of the Presbyterian Church. It doesn't matter if he comes speaking about something else. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the moderator of the Presbyterian Church a few years ago used to hold heavy metal concerts in the church. Why would you listen to a minister that offers that? Or Billy Graham? It doesn't matter if Billy Graham, the old head of the Baptist Union, is that right? But the Southern Baptist in America. It doesn't matter what he said. Or Rick Warren. Or Joel Osteen, some of these fruit and nut cases. If they say something different to what's in the Bible, to what God has called you to do, it's not you that's wrong. It's them that's wrong. When they come against you, as you go about the Lord's work in your life, they know. The world, the flesh, and the devil knows. As you answer God's call, people will be set free, even if it's only you. And they know full well that if you're set free, you are no longer under their control, but you are available to do God's bidding. In whatever form the Lord calls you to preach the gospel, it needs to be preached. Lives will be touched in whatever way they need to be touched. If you recall to mind, was it Nathaniel sitting under a fig tree? And all that Jesus said to him was, "I saw you sitting under a fig tree." And that was enough to touch Nathaniel. Other people needed to see fish coming out of the sea. Other people just needed Jesus to visit their house. Souls will be convicted of sin and judgment to come in the way that only the Holy Spirit can. And prayerfully, souls will be saved in the way that only Jesus Christ can save them. All because God's children answered his call. Great thing about it is you get to see God working. Your faith grows because you understand that God is more than happy to pat his children on the back and provision them on their way. You get to see miracles. You get to see things happen. And it will always and only ever be because you and I, folks, obey God. So when God says go, go. Stop them there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I hope and pray that that is a help to you this day. Amen. Got a closing hymn. I think I might pick this one this evening. Might be my going away hymn. I mean going away from church hymn, not going away anywhere. Hymn number 19 in the wee black book, if you'd like to take it, turn there and stand with me as we sing God Be With You Till We Meet Again. Hymn number 19. Thank you. Bibles home until the next time we meet. If we meet again, God be with you. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll be dismissed with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we indeed thank you, Lord, that we still have the freedom to come out and worship and praise, even with everything that's going on in the world. Lord, he that letteth, still letteth until he be taken out of the way. Please continue to work in people's lives, Lord, convicting of sin and judgment to come. And Lord, let us always have our ears open for what you need for us to do. We love you and thank you, Lord. Please save souls. Please keep us until the next time we meet. And Lord, be with our absent brethren and our brothers and sisters wherever they are in the world. We ask all this, Lord, and for our private prayer requests for Frank as he travels. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Folks, God bless you. We are dismissed.